At once, several pairs of strong grey hands seized him. Half a dozen mermen were pulling him away from Hermione, shaking their green-haired heads and laughing.
"You take your own hostage," one of them said to him. "Leave the others."
"No way," said Harry furiously, but only two large bubbles came out.
"Your task is to retrieve your own friend. Leave the others."
"She's my friend too," Harry yelled, gesturing towards Hermione, an enormous silver bubble emerging soundlessly from his lips. "And I don't want them to die either." Cho's head was on Hermione's shoulder. The small, silver-haired girl was ghostly green and pale. Harry struggled to fight off the mermen, but they laughed harder than ever, holding him back. Harry looked wildly around. Where were the other champions? Would he have time to take Ron to the surface and come back down for Hermione and the others? Would he be able to find them again? He looked down at his watch to see how much time was left. It had stopped working. But then the merpeople around him started pointing excitedly over his head. Harry looked up and saw Cedric swimming towards them. There was an enormous bubble around his head, which made his features look oddly wide and stretched. "Got lost," he mouthed, looking panic-stricken. "Fleur and Crum are coming now." Feeling enormously relieved, Harry watched Cedric pull a knife out of his pocket and cut Cho free. He pulled her upwards and out of sight. Harry looked around, waiting. Where were Fleur and Crum? Time was getting short, and according to the song, the hostages would be lost after an hour. The merpeople started screeching excitedly. Those holding Harry loosened their grip, staring behind them. Harry turned and saw something monstrous cutting through the water towards them. A human body in swimming trunks with the head of a shark. It was Crum. He appeared to have transfigured himself, but badly. The shark man swam straight to Hermione and began snapping and biting at her ropes. The trouble was that Crum's new teeth were positioned very awkwardly for biting anything smaller than a dolphin, and Harry was quite sure that if Crum wasn't careful, he was going to rip Hermione in half. Darting forwards, Harry hit Crum hard on the shoulder and held up the jagged stone. Crum seized it and began to cut Hermione free. Within seconds he had done it. He grabbed Hermione around the waist and, without a backward glance, began to rise rapidly with her towards the surface. Now what? Harry thought desperately. If he could be sure that Fleur was coming, but still no sign. There was nothing for it. He snatched up the stone which Crum had dropped, but the mermen now closed in around Ron and the little girl, shaking their heads at him. Harry pulled out his wand. "Get out of the way!" Only bubbles flew out of his mouth, but he had the distinct impression that the mermen had understood him because they suddenly stopped laughing. Their yellowish eyes were fixed upon Harry's wand, and they looked scared. There might be a lot more of them than there were of him, but Harry could tell, by the looks on their faces, that they knew no more magic than the giant squid did. "You've got until three!" Harry shouted. A great stream of bubbles burst from him, but he held up three fingers to make sure they got the message. "One!" he put down a finger. "Two!" he put down a second. They scattered. Harry darted forwards and began to hack at the ropes binding the small girl to the statue, and at last she was free. He seized the little girl around the waist, grabbed the neck of Ron's robes, and kicked off from the bottom. It was very slow work. He could no longer use his webbed hands to propel himself forwards. He worked his flippers furiously, but Ron and Fleur's sister were like potato-filled sacks, dragging him back down. He fixed his eyes skywards, though he knew he must still be very deep. The water above him was so dark. Merpeople were rising with him. He could see them swirling around him with ease, watching him struggle through the water. Would they pull him back down to the depths when the time was up? Did they perhaps eat humans? Harry's legs were seizing up with the effort to keep swimming. His shoulders were aching horribly with the effort of dragging Ron and the girl. He was drawing breath with extreme difficulty. He could feel pain on the sides of his neck again. He was becoming very aware of how wet the water was in his mouth, yet the darkness was definitely thinning now. he could see daylight above him. He kicked hard with his flippers and discovered that they were nothing more than feet. Water was flooding through his mouth into his lungs. He was starting to feel dizzy, but he knew light and air were only 10 feet above him. He had to get there. He had to. Harry kicked his legs so hard and fast, it felt as though his muscles were screaming in protest. His very brain felt waterlogged. He couldn't breathe. He needed oxygen. He had to keep going. He could not stop.